The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 8, text number 41, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on October 8th, 2008, in Copenhagen, Denmark.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, the creation of the fourth order. Chapter number 8, Dhruva Maharaj leaves home. Text number 41. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Dharmartha Kama Moksha Khyam.
Dharmartha Kama Moksha Khyam.
Ya Ischichaya Atmana.
Ya Ischichaya Atmana.
Ekam Hyeva Harestatra.
Ekam Hyeva Harestatra.
Karanam Padasevanam.
Karanam.
Translation and purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, the Savior of the whole universe. Any person who desires the fruits of the four principles, religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and at the end, liberation, should engage himself in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For worship of His lotus feet yields the fulfillment of all these. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita it is said that only with the sanction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can the demigods offer benedictions. Therefore, whenever any sacrifice is offered to a demigod, the Supreme Lord in the form of Narayan Shila or Shalagram Shila is put forward to observe the sacrifice. Actually, the demigods cannot give any benediction without the sanction of the Supreme Lord. Narada Muni, therefore, advised that even for religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, or liberation, one should approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, offer prayers, and ask for the fulfillment of one's desire at the lotus feet of the Lord. That is real intelligence. An intelligent person never goes to demigods to pray for anything. He goes directly to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the cause of all benedictions. As Lord Sri Krishna has said in Bhagavad Gita, performance of ritualistic ceremonies is not actually religion. The real path of religion is to surrender at the lotus feet of the Lord. For one who has actually surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord, there is no question of any separate endeavor for economic development. A devotee engaged in the service of the Lord is not disappointed in the satisfaction of his senses. If he wants to satisfy his senses, Krishna fulfills that desire. As far as liberation is concerned, any devotee fully engaged in the service of the Lord is already liberated. Therefore, there is no separate necessity for his liberation. Narada Muni therefore advised Dhruva Maharaj to take shelter of Vasudev, Lord Krishna, and engage himself in the way that his mother had advised, for that would help him fulfill his desire. In this verse, Narada Muni has especially stressed the devotional service of the Lord as the only way. In other words, even if one is full of material desires, he can continue his devotional service to the Lord and all his desires will be fulfilled. Shri Guru, Shri Jata, Tadakamalam, Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam, Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vita Tam Sajiva Sadaita Slavadutam Purijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. So, why waste time playing around with Maya? It's obvious. Krishna consciousness, this is called one-stop shopping. Instead of running here and there to get this, that. You simply go to Krishna and everything is there. If you're less intelligent, then you beg Krishna, give me this, give me that, give me. You see, that's for the less intelligent. And if you have good brain substance, then you simply beg Krishna for devotional service, that's all. But everyone should go to Krishna. Either to beg him for so many things or to beg for devotional service. This is intelligence. To think that by my own intelligence I will manufacture a society that I can enjoy and have kingdom of God on this earth without God, that is madness. That is what we are living in the midst of at the present moment. A civilization where they think they can have the kingdom of God without God. But they cannot have them. And because they are going against the very nature of existence. If a fish wants to fly in the sky, can he do that? If a bird wants to swim in the ocean, can he do that? One has to act according to Dharma, according to one's intrinsic nature. So why are we trying to act against our Dharma? It is futile. It will not be successful. Forget it. Waste of time. Complete ignoramusness. Complete total ignoramusness. To act against one's nature is the most foolish of all things. Sometimes people say, oh, what is your religious belief? Actually, we don't have a religious belief. Because this is not a religion. It's not another one of the religions. Our philosophy simply is, know who you are and be who you are. That's all. In a nutshell, we can tell them. They say, what is your philosophy? Know who you are and be who you are. That's all. Would you like to know who you are, sir? Or you'd rather not know who you are. And knowing who you are, would you... And once we tell you, sir, who you actually are, we think you would actually really relish being who you are instead of trying to be something you're not, namely a lump of rotting flesh. If I showed you here a lump of rotting flesh and I said, I want you to be that lump of rotting flesh, would you be happy? And my dear sir, I'll even give you a female lump of rotting flesh to sit beside your lump of rotting flesh. Would you like it? These fools, they say, yes, it's very nice. Some rotting meat. That's all it is, actually. Rotting meat. And these fools and rascals, they want to try to be that rotting flesh. So it is a very sad situation, actually, the modern-day civilization. It is called mass psychosis. Because everywhere you go, it reinforces the false conception that you're the body. As soon as they come out of the womb, you see the family members say, oh, it's a boy, it's a girl. Immediately, they're programming that little infant to identify with the flesh, you see. Immediately. From the very minute of coming out of the womb of the mother, immediately they're being programmed. And then every step of the way beyond that, they just continue to reinforce this day in and day out, day in and day out. Their whole life, up to the last moment, the whole insane misidentification with the rotting flesh is reinforced again and again in thousands and millions of ways. Prabhupada gives an example of one man. People wanted to convince him that he was a ghost, even though he was not a ghost. But anytime he would walk in the room, everybody would say, oh, ghost, ghost, ghost. You heard that example? Yeah. The poor fellow actually started to believe that he was a ghost, even though he had a gross body. Wherever he went, everyone said, oh, a ghost has come. Oh, ghost, ghost, ghost. So he started thinking, yes, I'm a ghost, I'm a ghost. So in the same way, we're being programmed to think I'm the body. Therefore, there is nothing more important than the association of sadhus. What does sadhu mean? Sadhu means one who knows that he's not the body. He lives as a spiritual being and he is always trying to enlighten and awaken all the others to the spiritual platform. That is sadhu. There's nothing more important than the association of sadhu. That is our only hope. If somehow we can get the association of a sadhu. Tadu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarva shastre kai. Lava matra sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hoi. It is declared in all the scriptures, if you are somehow or other so fortunate as to get the sadhu's association even for one lava, 1/11th of a second, that's not a very long time. Even 1 second is not very long. What to speak of 1/11th of a second? If you can get sadhu's association even for 1/11th of a second, you can achieve what? Sarva siddhi hoi. You can achieve all perfections. So there is nothing more desirable than that sadhu sangha. So Prabhupada, he is the greatest sadhu. He is the leading exponent of the topmost self-realization science, the ultimate self-realization science in the modern age. And we are most fortunate that we have gotten the contact of this great sadhu either directly through his books, through his recordings, through the association of his followers. We are most fortunate that we have got the greatest blessings of the greatest sadhu, his divine grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharya Asta Tarasada Shishimad AC Bhakti Vedanta Sridandi Gosh Swami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. We've gotten his greatest sadhu's blessings. And if we take these blessings and we utilize them properly, then we can become completely free from misidentifying ourselves with this lump of blood and flesh. And we can live in the spiritual reality of the spirit soul in relationship with the Supreme Spirit, Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is actually all coming by the grace of Narad Muni, because he is our predecessor guru in the line of disciplic succession. We are reading his words of wisdom today, and the words of wisdom that have been transmitted by his mercy through our Srila Prabhupada. And by taking advantage of this mercy of Sri Narad Muni, coming by the mercy of Prabhupada, then we can live an eternal existence full of knowledge and full of bliss. So, I can ask now if there's any question. Yeah.
I have one question about the Dharma, because usually, oftentimes when we meet people on the street, they're talking that I have my nature, and Krishna here also says in the Gita that everyone is forced to act helplessly according to the rules of nature. Mm-hmm. So is that also Dharma, that activity is in the mode of nature, or
No, there are two natures. You say, well, I'm just going to be a dharmi by being natural. Well, which nature are you talking about? It's true, everyone has a certain nature according to the modes of nature. That's about it. But that is the covered nature. What is your uncovered nature? You see, there's a difference. Right now, my nature is I want to rape every woman that I see, you know. Right? That's my covered nature. But that is not the actual nature. So the idea is to take your covered nature engage it under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master in such a way that it becomes transformed into your true uncovered nature. That's the idea. You have to deal with your nature now, just like some people are better situated to be a brahmachari. Some are better situated to be grihastha. So the spiritual master, he will engage the disciple in such a way that his covered nature can be nicely connected with Krishna's service, and then he can become his true uncovered nature, eventually, going up, Kanishta Adhikari, Majjhima Adhikari, Uttama Adhikari, he can become a pure devotee. You see? So the idea is the spiritual master engages the disciple according to his nature in such a way that his true eternal nature becomes fully manifest.
So how to convince people to surrender to a spiritual master? And
that's very simple. You have to set the example. Yad yad acharate shreshtas tattare vetaro jana Sayat pramanam kurute lokastad anivartate. Whatever a great man does, the common people follow in his footsteps. Whatever standard he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So if you want them to pursue this path, then you be an ideal pursuer of this path. And then by your association, you see, they will become inspired to do it also. And that's the key. You can't ask people to stop smoking while you're smoking. But if you have given up cigarettes, then you can ask them to give up cigarettes. So you become acharya. The Ritviks, they say there's only one person who's supposed to be acharya, and that's Prabhupada. But that's completely bogus. You know what Prabhupada told us in Mayapur? He said, now we are 10,000. And then we will become 100,000, and then 1,000,000, and then 10,000,000. He said there will be no scarcity of acharyas. Prabhupada wanted 10,000,000 acharyas. ISKCON would mean 10,000,000 acharyas. All over the world there would be acharyas, so that people could see what it means to be a devotee and become inspired to become a devotee. So it's very simple, Prabhu. Or Bhakta Morton, you simply become acharya, that's all. You become an ideal living example of Krishna consciousness. You have to think, breathe, eat, sleep, everything. Krishna, 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 24 hours a day, that's all. Fully Krishna conscious in every situation, with every thought, word, and deed. And then everyone who meets you, they'll want to become a devotee. They'll see how ecstatic you are, how blissful you are. They'll see, this is the most enlightened, happy, compassionate, cool-headed person. This is the coolest person I've ever met. I've never met anybody this cool. So I want to be cool too. I want to be a Hare Krishna. Actually, if you think about it, it must be really cool to be a Hare Krishna, you know, because, Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, you know. Nobody has a cooler life than Krishna. And he's really living a cool existence. Okay, But he was saying, and there's actually something a little bit uncool about my position. I think it'd be more cool if I could be a Hare Krishna. So he joined the Bhakta program. Bhakta Avatar. He became Lord Chaitanya. He thought, actually, I thought it was the coolest thing to be Krishna, but now I'm realizing it's not as cool as I thought it was. I'm going to be really cool. I'm going to become a devotee. I'm going to become a Hare Krishna. So really, there's nothing more cool than being a Hare Krishna. If God himself was feeling it's a little uncool being God, I think I'll be really cool and be a Hare Krishna. So you're doing the coolest thing, you know, and being a Hare Krishna. And when if you really get into it, then people go, oh, this is the coolest person I ever met. I want to be cool like him. You know, I'm going to be a Hare Krishna too. Yeah.
Even though it's very cool, we see that many people won't agree. But some people think it's not so cool, it's old-fashioned.
Yeah.
So now we see so many places all over the world, is this bridge preaching, like either yoga courses or other ways to bring people to Krishna consciousness.
Whatever you can do to get them to come, I mean, really, you know, whatever you can do. By hook or by crook, Prabhupada, get him to take a book. Whatever you can do to somehow or other get him to become Krishna conscious, and whatever it takes, you know, the one should find the ways and means to somehow or other induce them that they can become Krishna conscious.
Maybe a side question to that, because I've been thinking recently, if that is really the dharma, you can say, for the brahmacharis also, living more, maybe, life dedicated to scriptures and dedicated to preaching, this is more brahmacharya dharma. So, should they also engage in this indirect preaching? Or is it more for
the thing is, you got to keep your purity. I've seen devotees go too far into, you know, some new age type of thing where they become, you know, the pure presentation of Vaishnava Siddhanta becomes law. I personally am more into straight preaching myself. That's why I went on the internet and started this thing called the Ultimate Self-Realization Course. It said, I have a web page that says, backtohome.com, it says, are you tired of suffering? Unlimited bliss is your constitutional birthright. Now you can attain it. And I explained how I achieved it by getting Prabhupada's mercy, and now he told me to give it to you. So if you want to do it, just sign up for my course. So that's what I do. I do a real straight thing, you know. Are you tired of suffering? You shouldn't. You're not supposed to be suffering, because actually your nature is to be unlimitedly blissful. That's how I preach. I really don't think we have to, you know, become Reiki masters to introduce Krishna consciousness, because Krishna consciousness is much cooler than Reiki. I think we just don't have enough faith in Prabhupada and our process of Krishna consciousness. We think that we have to now, you know, give a seminar, call in some New Agers to give a seminar on, you know, past life regression to track. I just don't. I mean, if devotees are doing it, more power to them. I think it's beautiful, it's wonderful. But I'm talking about me personally. I think Krishna consciousness is much more interesting and much more fascinating and much more enlivening than past life regression or Reiki or all these other things that people are trying to use, you know, hatha yoga or anything. I think it's much more dynamic, exciting, thrilling, titillating, uplifting, and invigorating. You know, you can go on to the hundreds of wonderful words that describe Krishna consciousness. I think it outdoes everything else. I don't think we need to come down to teach. If someone's doing it successfully, great. But I personally don't feel that I need to do that, because Prabhupada didn't do that. Prabhupada didn't teach, open up a hatha yoga studio to gradually introduce us to bhakti yoga. I mean, it has been done successfully, and Prabhupada did tell one of the sannyasis he could do that. The Shah of Iran, he was One of his family members was taking Hatha Yoga lessons from one of Prabhupada's sannyasis, and Prabhupada authorized that. So I'm not saying it's wrong.
Wasn't it even his daughter?
Huh?
I mean, wasn't it even his daughter? The son of Iran, wasn't it his daughter?
It was his daughter.
His daughter.
It was the daughter of the Shah.
And the daughter of the Shah.
Wasn't?
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty cool thing. You use Hatha Yoga to get in and teach the Shah's daughter, you know, Hatha Yoga. Of course, they got deposed by the Khomeini. But it's another thing. But I personally don't, I don't think we need to make that our new way of approaching the public. We all have to become Hatha Yogis or Reiki Masters or this or that. I think Hare Krishna is so cool. I just think we need to get out and do more Harinam on the streets and more book distribution. People, they say, where are you? Oh, you're still around. I thought your movement died out because I don't see you on the streets anymore. I think we need to get back to the old blissful Hare Krishna singing and dancing by the hundreds and thousands in the streets and, you know, flooding every street corner with Prabhupada's books. I really think we just need to increase our sankirtan activities instead of, you know, growing our hair and talking like some yogi, you know, putting on some yogi pants and opening the yogi studio. I don't think we need to do them. We just need to get out and do more books, do more Harinam. We have to be a little innovative. I don't think we have to go by the old, instead of the old stereotype ways, just like Vaisheshika Prabhu now in Silicon Valley, ISKCON Silicon Valley, San Jose, California. He has a wonderful program engaging, he has a big congregational membership of people who work jobs. Is she going to talk? But he has the program Weekend Warriors, where he gets book tables set up all over town. You know, he has a store. Can we put a book table in front of your store? They say, okay. He gets permission from store owners to set up book tables. And he's every single member of the congregation, they go out and they have their book spot. The books, it's some, you know, it takes a pretty aggressive person, pretty daring person to walk up to someone on the street, a stranger, how are you doing, and take this book. Some people are not trained in that. They're a little shy to do that. So he sets up a program where every single member of all the members of the whole, you know, maybe 50, I don't know how many people he has going out, maybe 100 people, 200, I don't know the numbers. But everybody has their spot. They have their book table, and they have shot them, you know, it's a nice, attractive thing. And they're all enthusiastic and fired up, and everybody's distributing books. And they do huge success. They're bringing in so much money, you know, distributing so many books. So, and that's his own innovation. He's an old Sankirtan Brahmachari, but now he's a married man. But, you know, he had a vision that we have to, you know, according to time, place, and circumstance, he's taken the same thing that we did in the old days, and he's finding a way to make it doable for the members of ISKCON, who are just working jobs, raising kids, etc. And everybody's completely in bliss. And they're all working together in the Sankirtan movement. The push forward Prabhupada movement, the whole community around the temple. So we have to always be seeing, you know, how to act according to time, place, and circumstance. But I haven't heard that they're doing a Hatha Yoga program in San Jose. I haven't heard that they're doing that. Yeah.
It's just one comment about this. As far as I understood, the principle about this indirect preaching is to attract people to come around and take the Sadhu Sangha. And especially in Denmark, many people, they think that our habits are too strange. They don't think they can be one of us. So if we dress up in karmic clothes and make some indirect preaching program, then they will associate and they will find out, actually, that we are not so strange.
Yeah, it can be done. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying it can be done. So is there a question?
No, it's just a comment on the principle.
No, I agree with that principle, and it is being done successfully. I'm just saying that, personally, I don't want to do that. If others find that they can do this, like some devotees prefer to do book distribution in karmic clothes, and some prefer to do it in devotional clothes. Both things are authorized by Prabhupada. So according to your nature, and you know, you can act. If someone's nature is that they can be more successful introducing Krishna consciousness like that, then let them do that. But I don't think we have to bring in karmis to give the lectures, like some devotees are doing now. They bring in karmis who are Mayavadis, and let them give the thing to attract people to the program. So where's the Krishna consciousness? It's being given. The current Mayavadis are coming in. They're giving a seminar. I can't understand why devotees are doing that.
That's also not the principle, because the principle is that the person who is teaching this indirect preaching, he has to be a devotee, so it's sadhusanga.
So he can subtly inject Krishna consciousness.
And also, it's sadhusanga. It's sadhusanga.
That's right.
Someone else, that's right. They don't get
sadhusanga. We bring the Mayavadis in, we open up a new age center, and we let Mayavadis come in who can attract the karmis. We let them do it, then what are we doing? Facilitating their nonsense, that's all. Yeah. Anything else? Yes.
I had a discussion with some devotees about chanting, and there are three that are described, among others, Mahanidhi Swami in this book, Art of Chanting. He's describing you can chant with the voice, Vachika, and you can chant whisper, it's called Upanshu, and then you can chant in the mind.
Mm-hmm.
So then, because one quite new devotee is chanting all these rounds in the mind, seems, or at least...
No, Prabhupada, that is not authorized by Prabhupada. Prabhupada said every syllable must be distinctly chanted and heard. Now that could be a whisper. That's all right. If you can whisper and hear it, if you can whisper and hear every single syllable, that the instruction is every syllable must be distinctly chanted and heard. If you can do that with a whisper, that's all right. If it's a quiet room, maybe you can get away with it. But according to time, place, and circumstance, you have to be able to hear every syllable distinctly. Not just mentally. Mentally is not authorized by Prabhupada.
There is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's described in Prabhupada, in his purport, he says you have to use the upper and lower lip and the tongue to chant also.
That's right. So that again negates the idea of mental chanting. That negates it. Many people say, well, I'd rather do some mental chanting. But no, the thing is, we are not strong enough to keep our minds fixed by mental chanting. We require engaging the senses for the mind to become... You see, the mind is the pivot point of all the gross senses. And unless we actually engage the gross senses with the mantra, the mind will not be able... It's a practical reason. Not just because Prabhupada said, there's a scientific reason for it. If the mind and if the senses are not actually contacting the mantra, the external senses, the mind will not be able to remain fixed. That's the point. That's why. Mental chanting means mental space out. That's what it means. They may claim they're very Krishna conscious, but then I say, well, sahajaism. Cheap Krishna consciousness. They're taking it easy. It's too much work to vibrate their lips, so they want to take it easy. Sahaja means taking it easy. They want to take it the easy way without having to work. Prabhupada said the tongue must work. So they're lazy, they don't want to work, so they say, I will just chant mentally. They're just lazy. Sahaja.
Is it possible maybe like after 20, 30 years of chanting that you develop, like when you have your fixed mind, that you can develop into more deeper...
Uttama Adhikari could do such a thing, but he wouldn't because he has to show the example for the neophyte.
What about Gayatri then?
Gayatri, that can be done suddenly. But I personally prefer to murmur it softly because it's hard to stay fixed without doing that. Gayatri is not the main thing. It's a supplementary thing. The main thing, you know, is chanting Hare Krishna. That's, even if one isn't second initiated, they can still go back to Godhead. The main thing is that Hare Krishna mantra.
I feel you also, when you have the voice in chanting Maha Mantra, you can put some more feeling into it.
Yeah, if a child is crying for the mother mentally, with them, Prabhupada always says like a child crying for the mother. So a child is mentally thinking, oh, when will my mother come and rescue me? I'm in trouble. Will the child mentally meditate on her mother when she's in distress? So forget this idea of silent chanting. If somebody's promoting it, they shouldn't be. Forget it. Prabhupada never promoted it. That's why I'm not so much in favor. Many devotees, they read here, they read there, they want to write their own book and show I'm a great authority. But sometimes they get a little off the track from what Prabhupada is giving us, you know. That's why the main, just when I was in school, there's the curriculum, curricular activities, and extracurricular activities. You can join the football squad if you want after hours as an add-on to your academic program. But you can't graduate you won't graduate from school just by your football playing. If you want to graduate, you got to do your curricular work well, you see. So if you got some extracurricular stuff you want to do on the side, but the curriculum is Prabhupada's books. That's the curriculum. You have to become a master of knowing and applying the teachings directly given by the divine grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharja Asta Tarasadashi Srimadesi Bhaktivedanta Chidandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. If other books are there that help you to become more dedicated to Prabhupada, that's good. But if they're taking you away from Prabhupada, making you doubting what Prabhupada has given, those books should be avoided. Well, there's different degrees of the mode of goodness.
Yeah.
Also, there's, of course, on the high end, pure goodness, which is Shuddha Sattva. And then there's, you know, the material mode of goodness means there are certain tinges of passion and ignorance mixed in with it. That's why it's called material goodness. It still has passion and ignorance mixed in. So it's relative to how pure your goodness is, that you're able to do them. If you're on the low end of the mode of goodness, then it's not going to be easy. The higher you move up in the mode of goodness, the easier it can. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it was just a technical question.
Any other question? Everyone's totally satisfied now, ready to... They give everything to Prabhupada and Lord Krishna. And your spiritual masters. Everyone's ready now. Full on dedication from now on. In all times, places and circumstances for all of eternity. Without looking back and regretting having given up the wonderful embraces of Srimati Maya Devi. Yes?
I have one question regarding... new discussion I heard about the tactics for expanding ISKCON as a movement for cultivation of new members. I heard it was mentioned that the book distribution that has been going on, it hasn't done so much in the matter of cultivating new members,
right,
to actually become members.
Right.
It was distributed many millions of books, but it was not so good the system for following up.
Right.
People to read and study the books.
That's right.
And so the example was given that Jehovah's Witnesses are much more efficient in that regard because
yes,
they are putting more.
I read that article also.
Yeah.
Kripa Moya Prabhu's article.
Yeah.
Yes, very nice article he's written. He says we need thousands of gurus.
Yeah.
So that means each one of you have to become a guru that takes people under your wing and trains them. That's what he's calling for. Every ISKCON member should become a guru. That means you become a person who takes responsibility to make this person, that person, all these persons, devotees, take them under your wing, train them, give them your love, give them your kindness, give them your knowledge, give them your time, give them your energy. That's what it means to be a guru. It's like raising children. Every ISKCON devotee should become a guru now. That's what Prabhupada said. Doesn't mean you should start initiating, but you should do the work of a spiritual master, Siksha Guru, by taking people under your wing and training them. Vartma Pradarshaka Guru, Siksha Guru, that should be done. That's why I recommend doing book distribution. Every book distributor should have his own contact list of all his, what is it, word, distributees? Everyone who got a book from him. He should have, just imagine somebody distributing a book for 5-10 years and they had a list of every person that ever gotten a book, their email address, their phone number. And every time there's a festival, they go, you know, you get a thing in the email where you can put them in your email group, you know. Every time there's a festival, and then when your people come to the program, you personally welcome the people that have gotten books from you, you welcome them to the temple. You know, I mean, just imagine if every devotee did that, every book distributor had been keeping a contact list of everyone who had gotten a book from him and following up. I mean, going to their house, showing them how to offer their food. They got a Gita from you on the street. Now they're ready for a full Bhagavatam, said. Just imagine if every book distributor was doing that. We need to think like them. You should always get their name and phone number and give them, you know, have your own card, a nicely printed card with your email address. Any questions about the book? And here, take this card and use it as a bookmark in the book. Any questions, you know, call me, give me my mobile number or my email address. You know, every devotee who's distributing books should be making a huge, what's called, contact base of everyone that he's preached to. Because you were the person that first inspired them to begin the path by taking that book. Do you think they wouldn't be inspired to meet you again and hear? They would love to meet you again and share their realizations and what they got from the book. Yeah, we really need to do this. We've neglected this aspect. We've been very expert at pumping out a lot of books, but our follow-up is not very good. Yeah. We would already have taken over the world if we had a good follow-up from all the books we distributed. We would have taken, all the high court judges would be wearing tilak. All the prime ministers would be going Hari Bol, you know. I mean, it sometimes happens, you know, we get a little happiness here. We went to Bulgaria, we're going through the passport control, you know. And there's lines EU and non-EU, you know. So we went to the non-EU line. But then somebody in the EU line, they called us over. Said, why should we stand in line in the non-EU when somebody is calling us? So a lady in the non-EU, the EU, she called us over. When we went over, she smiled real big and friendly. I said, what's going on? She stamped in and she said, Hari Bol. So, you know. Wherever we go, there should be people saying, Hare Krishna, Hare Bol. You're one of Prabhupada's followers. That's great. I've been reading your books. I have these questions. That should be happening everywhere, wherever we go, all over the world. You see? Because our follow-up is, you know, we've been so much in the mood of passion, there's been no sattvic mood. Follow-up is sattvic. We keep the passion to push the books. But add the sattvic element of cultivating the people that are getting the books. We have to have a combined, you know, goodness and passion combined. Very important. That way we won't burn out also. Yeah.
Just now when I was going from Italy to Belgium in the airport, one devotee was with me, Nimai Pandit from Italy. So he when he came, he showed his passport. And then he said, what is your other name? So she knew that the devotees and sisters, they had initiated names. So she asked, what is your initiated name?
That's wonderful. All right then. So, anything else? All right, we'll stop here. Grantharad Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.